I didn't 81. Look before this.
It was 81.
All yeah. right. Yep. Nailed it. Transfer window is closed. We've hit the first international break. There's a lot of drama.
What a weekend. It's about time. We've been waiting for this little explosion to happen.
Yeah, I mean, three whole match days. Come on now. What are we doing here? The Where's the drama?
Yeah. Consistency? Let's go, baby. It's time.
Yeah. I don't even know where to begin. We got to begin with drinks, obviously.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Doing grapefruit seltzer, because that's the type of day we're having.
Nice, nice.
Just need a little break from the beers. Had a crazy Labor Day. The Vegas is still Fair. Taking its toll. I said, please.
Well, I don't think you got a full time to recover.
No,
from Vegas,
I
really,
did.
So.
I really didn't. This is the week I get full recovery. No swim lessons, no soccer statting. This is like relaxation and calm.
Chill.
So, yeah, we're doing that.
All right. Nice, nice. I'm just on a little cold brew with oat milk today. So
right on, partner.
They'll pick me up.
Yeah, you need it. You need it. Let's get into it, Chad. Let's just start off with the first game of the weekend. Take it away, sir.
You mean the one I had to wake up at 4:30 a.m.?
Man, what a weekend. What a three-day weekend ruiner, if you don't mind me saying.
You know, those games are already rough because, like, it's just early. And, like, I'm not going to bed early, right? I'm staying up. I'm hanging out, doing things, whatever. Like, so it's already hard to wake up. And then, you know, even if that game ends as a loss, it's, like, it can kind of dampen your at least your Saturday. But then when it's a situation like this where it's, like, a controversial sort of thing, like, that's just been festering my mind all weekend.
You need this. You need this more than I do right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Arsenal v. Brighton. Arsenal at home. You know, started as any game would. Mm-hmm. I think a pretty, maybe not one-sided start, but I think Arsenal definitely had some good chances early on. And, you know, missed, I think Odegaard's is probably the best one. Trossard crossed in a ball. I don't know that Odegaard was really expecting it to make it to him, but he just didn't really get a lot of power on it. So looking back, that's a big chance that could have went a long way to win this game.
In hindsight, yes.
Yeah, in hindsight. And then, of course, Dunk just like doesn't want to challenge Sokka for the ball in the air for some reason.
That mismatch is hilarious to watch, and to watch Sokka not only like outpower but out jump and out head Dunk was kind of hilarious.
Such a weird, I don't know, I guess a little brain fart from Dunk of like not fully realizing the situation that was about to unfold. But yeah, Sokka gets on that ball nicely, finds Havertz pretty quickly, and Havertz, you know, I was a little nervous when he went for the chip because we've seen him do that a few times and it's typically gone wide. But this time he hit it perfectly. You know, gets the lead early on.
You love to see the finishing. The confidence in finishing there is nice.
He's definitely coming into it a little bit more this season, I think. Mm-hmm. Just getting more comfortable up there. More seems to have developed quite a good relationship with Sokka. Between both of them just kind of helping each other out now, which is great to see. But yeah, that was, I don't know, 30-ish minutes in. So like, I'm a little calmer now. I'm, you know, went in cautiously nervous as I typically always do. And then, you know, Kai calmed my nerves, which I said, all right, we've looked good. Got the goal in the first half. Keep rolling. Like, this should be an easy win at the end of the day. Little did I know what was about to happen in that second half.
The drama. I'm ready.
So.
Take a breath.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone's seen the video by now of the Rice and Veltman kerfuffle.
You could call it that. Absolutely.
I mean, initially, I don't think that's initially a foul for me. They're both just kind of sticking legs in for the ball. I think a little bit soft foul to call, but one of those you see, you know, the defender will get if he's like kind of back in his corner, you know, fall over and you kind of get the call, which fair enough, no issues there. Then, you know, Rice starts to walk away because foul was called. Veltman picks up the ball, kicks it at Rice, bounces off Rice. Rice just like does a little flick. And all hell breaks loose, and Veltman just, like, kicks Rice through the legs. And I was like, what the fuck has just happened here?
It was extreme. To watch that back, extreme. I have no other words besides that one right now. Because at first watch, you were like, what just happened?
Yeah, it felt like it came out of nowhere. And, yeah, it's just like, I know Rice had a challenge in the first half that got him a yellow card that, you know, yeah, he was a little late, but, like, it's just a yellow card challenge. Nothing bad about it. So I guess maybe Veltman is retaliating to that. And then I'm sure at halftime, coach is like, look, this dude's on a yellow, so, you know, try and mess with him a little bit. But, yeah, at first watch, you're just like, oh, well, that was a dumb decision by Veltman. Like, that's probably a red.
Absolutely.
And sure enough, you know, ref comes over and everyone's coming over. And even before he pulled out any cards, I was like, this is just kind of a weird situation because, like, Rice is on the ground. But he is still kind of like, not like apologizing, but I think kind of doing like the, like, no, we're cool. Like, I didn't mean to do anything or he didn't do anything. Like, it felt like they were kind of, you know, they duked it out real quick and like kind of came to that gentleman's agreement of like, we're even. At least that's the vibe I was getting. But I was still kind of unsure, like, is this going to be a red? Because like, it probably should be a red, but like, just the whole situation was a little bit strange. So I thought it was going to be maybe at least a yellow for Veltman there. And then all of a sudden, ref pulls out a yellow, which, okay, cool, expected, but then the red, and is pointing to Rice, and players losing their minds. I was, like, relaxed on the couch, because, again, it's early, and I sat straight up, was like, what? What do you mean? It was, it took us all by surprise, I think.
I mean, the Havertz triple take on trying to figure out what was going on. It just goes to show that no player really understood what had happened there. Except for Danny Welbeck. I don't know if you saw his reaction. He's like, he was like, yep. Like,
yellow, yeah, I don't know.
You fucked up. Like, yep. But out of everyone else, I think Welbeck was kind of just, I don't know. Not that he didn't know really what was going to happen there. But this is all Veltman's fault. The fact that he rolled the ball into Rice, like,
yeah,
I understand the foul was there, but that you couldn't have taken a quick,
no
kick after that because the ball was still moving first off.
Correct.
Sure, Rice did hit it out. He kicked it, whatever, barely. Now, if we go back to the first half when Gel Pedro absolutely blasted the ball at half and yet there's nothing there. This is all something that Arteta got asked at the end of the game. If you saw his press, they asked him, did you get an explanation on what happened there? And one word answer, no. And then went straight to the point, it's all about consistency. Like, you know, if refs were calling this at every point of the game, at every single match, fine, do it. Sure, yeah. You know what? I'm okay with that if it's going to happen at every single point in the game. Mm-hmm. But it's not. It never is. This gave me shades, the Tomiyasu throw-in of him just standing there for what felt like 5 seconds, all of a sudden, like, quick yellow. It was very, very similar in terms of just quick reactions and lack of, as Tim Howard would say, common sense. Mm-hmm. You know, this was in a part of the pitch where it didn't matter. They were on the opposite end for Brighton. Nothing was going to come out of this play if a quick kick was taken. I did a little bit of research on this one, though, just to kind of see if there's this weird gray area and why players are trying to do this quick retake, but then commit some type of foul afterwards. And Veltman does do this. He'll look for a quick retake and then find somewhere in there where he can get away with something. And so this isn't the first time he's done this. This was definitely the most aggressive it's ever looked. Yeah. just absolutely annihilating Rice. It would have been really interesting if he did hurt him in some way. Yeah. I don't wish Rice would have played it up more, but it would have been fascinating if Rice got stretchered off in this and Veltman had nothing given to him. But it's this weird gray area where you can kind of get away with stuff because a player, I don't know, is going to get a yellow. You know they're going to get a yellow. I mean, this is a pretty bold assumption. And then nothing happens. It's just wild. Arsenal has been shafted pretty early this season, from getting choked to butt grab to this. It's pretty wild. And now, you know, this red card and the draw against Brighton pegs them down a couple points from City and Liverpool, who are just kind of, you know, I'm not going to say they're going to run away with it, but there is no reason why Arsenal can't be right there with them at this point of the season. There's absolutely no reason. I could say the same for Brighton, though. Brighton's had a great start, too, and they could be up there as well. But to have this be a huge deciding factor so early in the season, it's on my note card here. The Rice red versus Brighton. I mean, this could be pivotal when we look back at it in March and y'all are, say, 2 points behind or something.
And that's the thing is, you know, last season we were having conversations about this would come down to goal differential. So, like, points matter at any point in the season here. And, you know, to drop points in this way because of, like, one key moment that was, I'd say, widely agreed to be the wrong decision is a bummer. You know, it like, the team played great afterwards. They defended really well, except for, you know, the one moment, but that was pretty quickly after, where Arteta wasn't able to make subs yet, or they weren't ready. I don't remember if the ball had stopped in play or went out or anything to allow subs to get in yet. But you know, the Arsenal defense, like, stood tall as they normally do, and, you know, kept Brighton out for 50 minutes or so. And really, Arsenal had, like, two great counterattacks that nearly came off. Like, Kai Havertz showing the strength and you know, ability to hold off the defender and run and, like, get a shot off. Like, Brighton keeper made a great save on that, so, you know, credit to him. But it was that close, and, like, Havertz picking the ball up on the wing and crossing into Saka, who's, like, just a step behind. It was that close. So, like, this Arsenal team played well still. Again, you never know. Like, if this didn't happen, I don't know if Arsenal would have came out with the win, but, like, I'd say it was trending that way, right? Like, they had the goal lead already. You figure they're going to pick up where they kind of left off and keep moving, and, you know, yeah, there can be some tweaks on either side in there, but, yeah, just a bummer to, like, have such a key moment happen that not only affects current game, but next game, but then because it's a second yellow, it can't be VAR reviewed. You know, it's which that whole criteria is still just baffling to me. Like, don't review every yellow, but once it's a second yellow and goes into a red, which, you know, has multiple effects, that needs to be reviewed.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was the Veltman challenged or kick reviewed?
I don't think any of it was reviewed, honestly. Like, he didn't receive a yellow, didn't receive a red. I don't even think he received a talking to. Like, it just was, you know, Rice was the wrongdoer here, and sorry, you got to go. And, you know, like you said, if they want to call the delaying a free kick thing every single time, then fair, but, like, they don't. And it's not only this game, it's, you know, you see it in every game. There's always little, you know, pick up the ball and walk a few feet, or, you know, roll it back beyond where the kick should be taken and all that sort of stuff. And, like, I think there needs to be some nuance in your decision making in those situations. Like, sure, is this, you know, end of game, you know, Brighton really pushing for the winner, you know, whether it's Arsenal or another team who has just a one goal lead on them, like, and then, yeah, you're kind of, like, actually standing in the way. Okay, maybe that's worthy of a card, but, like, Rice got up and starts walking away right away.
Back was turned to it.
Yeah, so...
Why did Veltman kick it at his feet?
Yeah, ball rolls into him. It might be a little just, like, almost instinctual of just, like, flick the ball away, like, at that point, because he's maybe not even really paying too much attention of that. He's just starting to get back into position. But yeah, I mean, and just from like the reffing point of view, like, yeah, your job is to make sure the game is played fairly, but I think your job is also to try and keep it 11v11, mm-hmm. right? And to go have one team go down to 10 off of this feels like a disservice to the game and like all the fans that paid, and you know, it just, red cards change games, and you know, certainly change this. And yeah, now we'll see with after the international break coming up against Spurs, it'll make it interesting for sure. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, a few days removed, I can look back at the Arsenal performance and, you know, pick up the good points there. And, you know, it Declan already came back from a short break after the Euros. So, okay, he gets a little more time now to rest, I guess. But, yeah, I just, I, as much as I was hyped for the new Brighton coach, that dude is on my shit list now, because I don't know if you saw his comments, but they asked him about the, you know, the whole situation. He said, well, yeah, you can't do that. Them's the rules, basically. And then they're like, so what about João Pedro? He's like, you can't compare the two. Which, fair enough, back your team and, you know, do all that. But like, come on, man.
Yeah, of course he was going to say that. But wow, what a way to start the weekend.
Yeah, so, you know, really, you know, normally I'll go up after those games and go back to sleep for like an hour or two. I got back up and I was just like, still kind of like, not seething, but just, you know, annoyed enough that I couldn't really fall back asleep.
It's fair. Did you stay up for the next games, or were you just done with footy for the day?
I popped in here and there, but like, I don't know, none of the games really called to me enough to sure. really get my attention. But
yeah, that's fair. Well, deadline day happened just shortly mm-hmm. before your team played, and a couple interesting moves there that I thought Ramsdale to Southampton was kind of fascinating, and the Matt Turner to Palace, I'm kind of, you know, mm-hmm. a little different there. If you're good with the Arsenal talk, we can kind of yep. skip forward here. You know, checking out the Brentford Southampton game and watching Ramsdale, I think he now believes he's going to be in a tough spot this year with Southampton. I think he's saying, wow, Arsenal is a really good team. Because that was pretty abysmal yeah. from Southampton and what Brentford did to them.
Yeah. You know, I don't think that was like all down to Ramsdale, at least. Like, I think it was a lot. Just the defense was no longer, you know, top of the table quality. So, yeah, he's got his work cut out for him. He made some great saves already, but I think he's going to have to make a lot more if he's going to hope to carry this Southampton team up and keep him out of the relegation zone.
Well, each of his center backs had an error allowing a goal, so that's at least he won't be at fault. I think that's the best thing here is at least for his confidence, you know, a lot of these goals will never probably be his direct fault. Mm-hmm. It still sucks to let in goals like that. Just like, what do you get? What was he supposed to do? He wasn't even mad. He was like, come on. What are we doing here?
Here we go.
Yeah. So Southampton looks rough. I think mm-hmm. they are looking like that relegation team we kind of talked about. I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do to solve this problem of one.
Well, I think you got to play Lallana. He came in for 16 minutes.
He looked pretty good. Yeah, he looked pretty good, surprisingly. So yeah, that might be a good switch. Hector.
Yeah,
finding these little diamonds in the rough. It might happen. Who knows? But the Wisa and Bumo combo looks pretty nice.
I like it even better than Tony and Bumo.
I think I do too. There's not a lot of like give Tony the ball to score. It's kind of like back and forth. Let's see what happens here.
Yeah.
So I like that. Seems I like that a lot.
A good partnership. They're working off of each other well, and. You know, yeah, Mbumo, just right place, right time in this game.
For sure. But we got to talk Everton.
Oh, boy.
Now, Bournemouth does this, right? You can never sleep on them. We've seen the late 90 comebacks.
Yeah.
But I don't think we've seen them be down 2-0 at the late 80s and make a 3-goal comeback. This is probably the biggest comeback they've made, at least from what we've been watching. Everton was just cooked after that first goal. Oh, my God. What happened?
Yeah, I guess it's, you know, they only made 2 subs. So I guess you could maybe point to just tired legs, tired minds. But, I mean, to just go full collapse.
And neither were defensive subs.
No, yeah, that too. So, but, I mean, I don't know that you had really defenders to bring on. I know you had Ashley Young back, but I don't know if you bring him in to close out a game necessarily. Because otherwise, Branthwaite was still injured. I can't see.
Yeah, the options are limited.
Yeah. I don't know. A bunch of names I don't know, really. So,
truly.
That Roman Dixon kid, he's there. Yeah, so I don't know what they could have done more defensively with their subs, but I think you just got to at least change the formation to just, like, park the bus at that point.
Yeah,
right? Like,
why are they still attacking?
Yeah, like, you got the goal lead still, you know, you're at home. I think if you park the bus between, you know, how crowded you're going to make it and the fans behind you, I think you could have pulled it out, but now they came to play, which respect, I guess.
I can't believe Bournemouth won that game, though. Watching the Men in Blazer highlights too, I don't know if you watched. I watched every panel from the goals they scored and how excited they were. And then by the end of the game, his children were texting him saying, "Dad, why did you do this to us? Why are we fans of this club?" And it's just looking worse and worse for Everton. Where do they go from here, man? This should have been an easy 3 points, and now you're still winless.
Like, this was probably a game I wouldn't have expected you to win.
Mm-hmm.
But once you go up 2, you got to get that win. At the very least, a draw.
I mean, you get this win here, you're sitting next to Manchester United.
Exactly. So you're up there. You're up in the table now. Up in the mix. I don't know. Like, you could maybe start to think of someone other than Sean Dyche, but I don't know where you go to.
I don't think they can afford it.
Like, I mean, yeah, you're strapped for money. But also, you know, I think Dyche is probably the guy to try to keep you up, but I think it's just, I don't know. They haven't clicked yet this season, obviously. You know, already letting 10 goals. Two this time, which is nice, but
I'm glad they scored this game. This is the worst looking Everton team I think we've seen in the last, at least the last 3 years when we've been really paying attention. But I just don't know. I mean, arguably lost their best player in Onana. Michael Keane and Tarkowski is not the greatest pairing in the world.
No, I think they need Branthwaite back quick, but last I checked, there was, like, no real update on his return.
September 28th would be the last estimated update, but who knows about that one.
I think it's kept getting pushed out, basically. Well, August 22nd, they just said he's still a bit away, he's not close. So, yeah, you know, that'll help, but I don't know. I feel like even in their other games, you know, defensively they've been suspect, but they couldn't get any attacks going. And like here, yeah, they got some attack going, so build on that, I guess. But they're looking rough. This might be the year they actually go down, which is just more pain for Everton fans after all the point deductions and the ownership, you know, wish-wash and
new stadium.
They're getting a new stadium though, so you know, there you go.
I mean, it's so early to determine, right, these factors on if they'll stay up or go down or whatever, but I just don't know how do you get better? Like, what is this team actually going to do to improve? And what, they've had three opponents now being Tottenham, Brighton, and Bournemouth. And yes, Tottenham, good team. Brighton, good team. Bournemouth, mid-table.
A better team than them, but...
Better than Everton. I mean, they're going to have to just duke it out with these bottom-of-the-table teams. And I think, you know, they could get lucky and maybe get a win off of a Leicester, a Palace, someone who is even a Fulham, maybe. Like, really lucky. Yeah. But even those teams right now are playing better than you. And this is just a defeat. This loss right here is got to be a blow to your confidence in holding a lead. Because now if you go up 1-0 somewhere else, you're going to be like, oh my God, like last game we dropped two. That lingers with you. And Sean Dyche can really encourage these guys to be like, look, like we did everything right up until this point. You know, but then again, next game you're up 1-0 at the 88th minute. PTSD kicks in. It's a real thing.
That's for sure.
And I'm not envious of where they are.
Just to mention, their next game is away at Villa. So,
oof.
But I mean, this could have been great prep for that because Bournemouth threw a lot forward, which Villa's going to do the whole game. So, I think it's a little bit of a bummer for them that, you know, we go right into the international break, so they have to kind of like sit with this for a while now.
Processing.
But maybe that'll be good. Maybe they can, you know, fully analyze what went wrong and fix some holes and stuff. But it'll be a rough season. They got to win their games of, you know, the neighbors around them. But that was just, it had the same vibes as like when Arsenal got that super late winner against Bournemouth, but like doubly so.
Yeah,
just
Everton, they're good luck. Godspeed. All right, Chad, I won't lie to you, these next couple games I think we could probably rapid fire Ipswich, sure, Fulham. Fulham probably wishes they could have won. Great goal by Delap. I like that one a lot, but again,
nice.
I think Fulham, man, they're just they like to play to their level. I think that's the type of team they are.
I'd say the one that doesn't is probably Robinson, because he gets that ball and every time it's that laser cross into the box. Just stack the box.
For real.
You're getting goals.
Do you see who's going to make a bid for him this winter?
No.
Apparently Man United wants him.
I'm not surprised. I mean, he's performed well at Fulham for a good while now. And I think, you know, as much as defensively, he's maybe not your strongest defender. His attacking threat, I think, is enough to get big teams to look at him. So, did I want it to be United? No, but, you know, whatever.
I want to see him on
I'd rather have him on a Brighton.
Yeah, a Brighton, a Brentford.
I'd even go Newcastle. I'd allow Newcastle.
Newcastle would be cool.
Brentford would be nice. Yeah.
I feel like Tottenham would actually like that a lot. I don't want to see him go to Tottenham or Man U. Those are my two that I wish wouldn't happen.
I'll add Chelsea in there just because I don't want him to get stuck behind like whoever, however many players and, you know, all that drama.
True.
But,
true.
But yeah, I think he's due for a move to like a step up.
Yep.
You know, you could maybe argue that Brentford's not that, but I think Brentford is just, they look more willing to like punch upwards than Fulham does. So
I agree with that. They're scoring goals. They look an attacking threat. You know, the only game they looked off was against Liverpool, which I think now looking back, you're going, wow, Liverpool is just kind of looking like a different class right now, which I'm waiting. I think we're going to do that one last because I'm excited about it. So
it's
I want
fun one.
It's a fun one. You're right. You're right. Villa, Leicester, you know, I thought Leicester put up a pretty good fight here.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say they didn't, but Villa's just better. Duran, man.
Yeah.
He might take Watkins' spot.
That's what I'm thinking. Like, Watkins, finally got an assist, but you need to be scoring.
Both. Find a way to get them both in. They both, I feel like they could both do it.
I think you probably could. And I wouldn't be surprised if they try that at some point, because they both look good up there, especially if you can get Watkins kind of back into form. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you know, I think Leicester put up a good fight. They got a little sloppy, and
yeah,
you know, you get sloppy in the back, and a team like Villa is going to jump on you and make you pay.
They're really going with Mattson with these late minutes here.
Yeah, I don't really know the plan there. I thought, you know, first game or two, you wouldn't see him too much, like work him into the system. But I think at this point, he should be ready to go.
I think they're going to ride out Dean until he can't anymore. I mean, this is pretty – every year I feel like the same thing. Wow, Dean's playing great.
Yeah.
And then he gets hurt somewhere around this time, and then we never see him again.
Yeah. So that's true.
It's hard for fantasy perspective to be this patient. I don't even know what he did this week. You probably know more than I do. Did it look okay?
I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think okay is generous.
Oh boy.
Take
a quick peek. Two.
Yeah, two, oh, man. 2 points. Ooh. So, you know, positive, but doesn't go a long way to help your fantasy score, so.
Yeah, I'm gonna be thinking that one over. But Onana, man, what a signing. What a player.
Oh my gosh. I just to think a player like that was trapped in Everton.
Who else is trapped?
Yeah. Like you gotta wipe away the Everton like sludge and try and see what's in there. Cause I mean, he's looked great. If anything, he's playing way more advanced than I thought he was. I thought he would be kind of like a deeper defensive mid, but he's popping up for these goals, and you know, he's playing really well, and just another piece to the Villa puzzle that makes him pretty fun to watch.
It baffles me to see teams like Chelsea and Man United with all this money, like swing and miss on players, or not even like try to go for players like this. And they have other guys on their team, and they're like still questioning what are they doing? And so yeah, good job, Villa. I'm glad you have him. True statement. I'd rather see him succeeding with you guys than probably failing at those other teams, because it's just a hot mess.
Yeah, I think, you know, Villa's being run so well, but then they're also under this like good footballing vision of Emery. Mm-hmm. So I think you can bring almost any player into there and they'll look good. Like that Morgan Rodgers like kind of came back in out of nowhere, and you know, he's dribbling through Arsenal, which might just be Arsenal issues, but you know, to get Onana playing like if Onana played like this in Everton, I think you probably would have seen like even bigger clubs come in for him. But you know, he was strapped a little bit with what he had to do, I think. And
well, the quality of players around you can look better with better players too. Maybe he felt like he had to do too much at Everton, when here he has
probably.
I mean, their midfield looks nice. They have a nice mid. They have a little bit of everything in terms of like physicality, height, speed. And then Tielemans is finally feeling like he's looking kind of like his old self here. Way more confident on the ball than we've seen him in the last, it's been, a year and a half now with Villa?
I think so,
And they'll have Mings coming back by the end of the month. I'm curious to see what he looks like, a year older. But they look like a well-rounded team, especially with Duran, Barkley, Mattson coming off the bench too. Like, of course, those aren't A-list players, but it's depth. It's depth you need.
Yeah, I don't think you need necessarily A-list, but if it's guys that can go out there and, you know, put the shift in and
bag a goal.
You know, just do their thing, help out, not concede, like don't make big mistakes, then cool. Good to go.
Yep. Make it simple.
Yeah.
All right. Forest and Wolves. Is this the last we've seen of Jose Sa?
I didn't know, but I guess.
That transfer for Johnston kind of...
Yeah. I didn't realize they were looking to move away from Saw.
Yeah.
You know, Saw's been one of their shining stars, I think, in the whole time that we've kind of paid attention to Wolves.
Never their weak spot.
No, yeah. Which I get, he's you know, not the the like younger keeper who's gonna try and play out the back necessarily, but on a team like Wolves, I don't know that you need that.
John Stone isn't either, though. That's the thing. He's, I think he's the same age.
Well, that's true too. Oh, really? Well, yeah. I don't know. Weird move, but you know, nice knowing you saw. Thanks for a couple good fantasy seasons.
Great saves overall. If you had to make a highlight reel of the keepers in Premier League, I think he'd have one of the better ones.
I would agree, yeah.
Mostly because he's just getting absolutely bombed with goals, or bombed with shots for a lot of these games, but...
Yeah. Yeah. but yeah, I mean, this game felt like one of those where either side needed to win this. I don't think either one will be happy with a draw, because, like, Wolves, I guess, even less so. You're already down at the bottom of the table.
Mm-hmm.
Like...
Hey, Forest. Top 10, man. Big, that a win for Forest here would have been crucial.
That's what I'm saying. Is I
number
I think
three?
This is a game where either side needed to just really punch forward and take it, and you know, almost. But yeah, Wolves and Everton, I think, are my ones that are just like really hard to watch at the moment.
Well, Forest is due for a rough patch here. They got Liverpool and Brighton up next.
Oof.
So their top 10 standing right now, could have been number 3 after this weekend, is probably going to get pegged down.
Yeah, that's
fair. A couple. anything noticeable in that game that you really... I mean, Carlos Miguel played this week. I want to make it happen. Let's do it.
Yeah, I mean... It looked more or less the same from both sides. Like, you know, Chris Wood scores again. He seems to be good at that. So, okay, build on that.
He's,
but like,
he's a right place, right time player.
But, hey, if you got the knack for it.
For sure. Yeah. More power to you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, but Bellegarde got the Wolves goal. Yeah, he great hit. But again, like, Wolves are just, things are missing there. And if you can't get it done against Forest, then it's not looking good for the rest of the teams. And, you know, same for Forest. If you can't get it done against Wolves, like, I don't know. Both are going to have a weird season.
I think just Forest having 5 points right now, they got to feel good about it. Especially just because of
great start, yeah.
How close they were to being relegated last year. Take what you can get early against these bottom teams, because
definitely,
I mean, what, the bottom six teams right now, most of them have 1 point, so
yeah. And I mean, you're ahead of United and Chelsea and
Tottenham, West Ham. So slot in there.
Good start to the season, at least for them. I don't think it'll go well against Liverpool and Brighton, but as long as you can just like push those aside and get back to whatever winning ways or good enough form, and like not fully collapse after a rough 2 weeks, then
yep,
should be okay.
All right, we got a fun four coming in here. West Ham City, how confident were you that West Ham would maybe have a chance here?
Confident enough that I avoided this game in the Pick'ems League.
Oh, wow.
I didn't want to... I couldn't decide either way. I thought, you know, West Ham could maybe do something. But again, it's City, so I should have just assumed a Haaland hat trick, because, you know, that's just how it goes these days, I guess. But, yeah, and then, you know, I think they start fine, West Ham. You know, go down early, but you get the own goal back like 10 minutes later, right? So it's like, okay.
Out of nothing. Like, that was, that's what you needed.
Exactly. So, you know, and we've seen Ederson be pretty shaky already this season. So it's like, okay, well, if you're you know, got Kudus and Bowen bombing down and Paqueta and, you know, I don't know. I there was hope that West Ham could do something. And then it just Haaland showed up.
Man, is this... I mean, we're three games in, 7 goals. I mean, this is easily his hottest start to a Premier League, but this Haaland right now just looks a little faster than what we've seen before. The runs look a little more dominant. And now he's like power shotting from kind of right around the 18. And it wasn't really, he was getting headers and kind of not tap-ins, but more like dribble through, slotted in. Now he's like, I'm just going to kick the shit out of the ball and it's probably going to go in. That's scary, dude. It's not good.
Yeah. No, yeah, he's definitely started hot. You know, I think we're seeing more of City like playing his runs where,
yes,
I feel like last season especially we didn't see it a lot where, you know, it was more just the crossing. But if they're gonna catch him on all these runs, like it's just another issue for teams to deal with, because once he gets going, I mean, he's a big dude and he's moving quick, and then he can still get so much power on the shot. It just, oof.
I mean, at this point last year, right, De Bruyne was gone,
mm-hmm.
and you didn't have Gundogan. No. And now you got both those guys on your team again. And it's like, it's just going to be a repeat from 2 years ago. Do you think he breaks his record?
Oh,
I got it. I mean, 7 goals in, dude. We're
three
out of 38 games, and he's already, what, 20% there?
I'll say yeah. I mean, I think he'll just continue to like kind of build on this. I don't know if we're going to get the 5-goal game this season, but...
He didn't sub him out this game.
Yeah.
If this is Pep's last year, I could maybe see it happening.
It's fair. It's fair.
Maybe. But it's got to be... I could see him doing it against Castle, honestly. If they break down Castle and they just want to absolutely let the world know that this team is not a top team.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's just stupid. The guy is just a goal-scoring machine, and thank God I picked him in fantasy.
Yeah. Smartest pick anyone could make.
I had a conversation with Kristen. Like, do we ban him next year? It's like, I don't know. I don't think we could really ban a player, because you don't know. You don't know if that player is going to have a good year or not. That's why you take the risk. But it's just a lock, man. He's such a lock pick.
We don't ban him. We just start him with like negative 50 points. And then, you know, he's caught up in like 2 games. And then there you go.
And then the season begins. Wow. Well, hey, when we got into Tennessee very early Saturday morning, Kristen forgot to do her pick 'em. So she was doing them at roughly 3 a.m. Our time. And then she looks at her scores the next day. And she actually did week 4. So she dropped in the standings a little bit. But again, rough week for kind of everyone. As I look back, I think everyone was definitely a little shell-shocked of what the score lines were. Almost no clean sheets up until the last game of the weekend. But Chelsea did everyone dirty. All but one person didn't pick Chelsea to win that game. So I figure we can kind of jump into that one next.
Yeah.
Not shocked. I think at Chelsea kind of just drawing against Palace.
Yeah.
lacked anything creative. This was a game that, you know, Palace has done almost nothing this year. And honestly, great shot by Eze. Love the goal he scored. Yeah. But Palace wasn't doing anything special this game either. And Palace hasn't done anything special this entire season. Chelsea, you just scored 6 goals.
Yeah.
And you put up 1 against a bottom team.
Yeah, you know, we said, you know, that the 6-goal performance was like, cool, great, congratulations, but, you know, you're not out of the woods yet. And I think, you know, immediately next match day, here we are, and it's Chelsea back to pretty much what we expected of them, to just kind of flounder and not look as good and as fluid. I mean, their counterattack for the goal looked nice, like good movement and runs and everything there. But I think, overall, just like this is a even weaker Palace team than you faced last year. And you would hope you're building off of the 6-goal performance and, you know, whether it's Palmer or Madueke or Jackson, like someone grabbed some extra confidence and form from that and would push forward, but like didn't really look like anyone had any extra energy because of it.
Mm-hmm. So do you think Jadon Sancho is going to find his way into the starting lineup early here? Madueke comes out and you slot in Sancho and you have Neto on the opposite side. There's so many attacking options.
Yeah. I mean, the Sancho move was weird too. Like, I don't know. At this point, I'm weirded out by anyone that goes to Chelsea because you're almost not guaranteed to be a starter.
Mm-hmm. What do you expect? What's your expectation when you go
that's
there?
That's kind of my question is, like, are you just going because they're handing out long contracts? So, like, your career may not become anything big, but you're just kind of guaranteed a footballing career.
Yep.
Because, I don't know. Like, if I'm Sancho, you had all this, like, turbulent time at United with Ten Hag. I don't think you see this Chelsea team and think, like, oh, that looks, you know, stable. And like, that coach looks like he knows what he's doing, because we don't really know what this coach is up to yet. We don't really know Chelsea's plan. You know, everyone's been trying to figure that out for a while now.
Feels like 3 years.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Hopefully it works out for Sancho, but, like, I just... They must be making promises to players that I would think they struggle to uphold, but then they're contracted for like 7-8 years. So it's like, well, whatever.
it doesn't make a lot of sense. I just hate the pairing of Enzo and Caicedo. I don't think you need both of them on the pitch. I think one deep lying midfielder is fine for what you want to do. And honestly, you could probably keep them both in there. I understand. At least from what I've seen, Enzo is definitely going to want to attack. So you have, I guess, Caicedo as that super backup. But when you have all these quality attackers that you're bringing in, I feel like you gotta sacrifice one of the two of those players. And it'd be interesting to see if they make that happen, because Caicedo definitely ended the season pretty good last year. And it looked like Chelsea was playing a lot better when Caicedo was the main defensive midfielder back there. And so now to have them both in there and then to not score goals but still have all these attacking threats, it's counterintuitive to what you want to do, at least from what I'm seeing on the outside in. Maybe Chelsea fans see it differently. It's rough.
But, I mean, not only are you not scoring the goals, you're still letting in goals. So you know, your midfield balance is not working on either end. Yeah, I don't know. It's Chelsea's going to Chelsea, I think. And, like, they're just hard to figure out and critique.
Every week will be different.
Yeah, they got Bournemouth away next. So
I won't be picking that game.
No, that's a trap either way. But, you know, I don't think that's going to be a walk in the park for either side, I guess. It just kind of depends what Bournemouth shows up. But, I don't know. I mean, I seem like Chelsea fans are pretty hyped on their team from what I've seen on Reddit and stuff. So, like, cool, but...
Have fun.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Tottenham, Newcastle. I'm surprised Tottenham didn't win this game, considering Newcastle has been... I don't know, inconsistent in their first couple. They haven't scored over a goal in each of their games they've played. So to score two against Tottenham here, Tottenham's got to feel bad about this one. They should have done more. And they didn't even score a field goal. It was Dan Burns saving them.
Yeah, not only all that, but like Tottenham just had so many shots and so many opportunities to do something. And, you know, just... think it was a little bit just not their day. But I mean, it's a rough one to take probably. I do think, again, you know, you're playing Son at striker. He just doesn't get as involved as he does on the left wing. I get Solanke's out, but you got to have someone else to play striker. You got to keep Son on the left wing. I think he's much better out there, much more of a threat. Gets way more involved. than he does at playing that striker role. He's just, it's just not his role, which is fine, but like, you might as well not force him to play that.
Is Solanke coming back soon? We just didn't get enough of him. I mean,
I think he's talked about to be back after the break.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. 9:15 is when we go again.
Yeah, so... Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think Tottenham's still just kind of the same as last year, where it's like they play a little bit recklessly and that they like play with the super high line, and mm-hmm. I get like Newcastle's not looked as quick and threatening as they did last season, but here you go. You got exposed with, you know, Joelinton passes into Murphy and he's already beat your line, and then Isak's available in the middle to just dump it off to. It's, you know, you can play that high line because, yeah, you suffocate that side of the field, but, like, you got to have a really, really good line or at least the pace back there and to get back. And I know they were missing Van de Ven, who can probably get back, but...
Fastest player in the Premier League.
Yeah, he's a quick dude.
When I watched the goal though, off the Murphy assist, I had my goals on 1.5 speed as I was going through it, and I couldn't believe how fast Murphy was at 1.5 speed. I had to go to 1.0 just to see like what it actually looked like, and oh my god, it was still blistering.
I don't think
I've seen him move that fast before, so that was fun to watch. And then of course just easy slot for Isak. Tottenham let that one get him. We saw Dragusin though, so that was kind of neat.
I think he'll be good to have back there. I mean, Romero will be due a red card at some point in the season, So, or at least a ban through yellow card accumulation.
Yeah.
And then even Van de Ven, you know, it's not the first time he's been out with injury. I think as quick as he is, he's maybe a little bit too big to be that quick, and you know, his body can't keep up sometimes. So I think Dragusin will get more time. I think he looks better in that like center back role than I think last season we saw him a little bit at like left back or something, mm-hmm. and he just didn't really pan out too well, but looked okay here.
Well, Chad, my seltzer is running dry. However,
oh, it's time.
It's time to jump in. But before we jump into the game, arguably the best transfer in the Premier League, the one and kind of only we've made, Chiesa coming in from Italy, who everyone has said, watch out for his injuries, watch out for his injuries. Well, if you did the deep dive, this guy played more minutes than almost half of our roster last year, with the likes of Diaz and Gakpo and Nunez. This guy was fine. He was fit. He just didn't play a whole lot in terms of, mm-hmm. I think, what people expected him to play, especially in the past. Our attacking is loaded. We have the depth.
Yes.
There's a lot of things I'm going to say post-game, mm-hmm. which I think this attacking depth we have will be so needed in the later months of the year, but we'll jump into that shortly. Liverpool was ready, Chad.
Oh yeah.
Liverpool was ready.
Liverpool was like over prepared. Like it's that like you study for the test and then you like go in and crush it. And then you just like, you study for the test and you're like, let me get like one more hour of studying in there. And then you just go in and you just like mop the floor with the test.
Your first done, you look around, you're like, what the hell?
Like, you're like, did I just like screw this up or mm-hmm. No, they came out of the gates just ready to go.
So the first goal that was disallowed by VAR, totally fair, but again, it just kind of set the pace for that game.
Yeah.
And at the start I was like, whoa, I was like, this is a different team from the first two games we saw, just in terms of how fast, how quick we wanted to get down the pitch. And then of course the goal didn't count, which is fine. I feel like we figured out Man United early, so then we were a little bit more decisive in when we wanted to throw bodies forward. Mm-hmm. But at that point, we just realized, give the ball to Casemiro, and he'll give it right back. And then there's holes open everywhere. I'm shocked Casemiro stayed on this team past the deadline. I thought maybe he would probably go. I think Man United is probably thinking now, yeah, we probably should have made that sale. Why did they get rid of McTominay, who at this point is probably a better player than Casemiro? And they probably could have gotten more for Casemiro from some Saudi team than what they got for McTominay. So I don't know. I don't know what that's about. Bizarre. But Diaz can finish now. It's a beautiful thing to watch. I think about a month ago I said, hey, if Diaz has to go for the money, let him. I redact that statement so hard. I get to keep Mo Salah on the door. He's staying there. I was a little worried he wasn't going to score this game, but I was like, it's Man United. He's going to find a way. And sure enough, Onana leaves that wide open hole. That dude likes to sit on his line, and I don't think he gets enough reaction time to try to... his positioning is very strange to me. The Diaz and Salah goal were almost identical in terms of placement and positioning from Onana. So, yikes. Yikes from him. I think he's let in the most goals per game started for Man United. So not a great stat to have.
Yeah.
You know, we also thought Nunez was going to get transferred out to maybe Arsenal. I'm glad it didn't happen. And I really saw his joy after the Diaz goal when he went up and hugged him. Slot must be doing something in this dressing room to tell these guys, look, you're going to get minutes. It might not happen right now, but fully expect to have a big role in this team in the later months. And this team, and maybe this will be a thing that bites Slot in the ass later, but this game could have easily been a 6-0 game. I truly believe that. Yeah. But with the amount of subs that Slot is making, the intensity was toned down a lot, I think, after the second Diaz goal. Third Salah goal really helped like solidify how things were going to go. But if this was a Klopp team, I think the intensity would have kept going. I think the goals probably would have kept happening. And I think Klopp just still has a goal differential thing in his head where it can still come down to that. And Slot hasn't had, or at least been around to see that be a factor in a title deciding team. And I hope we never want goal differentials to be the deciding factor. I swear if that happens to us, that'll be brutal. And it's games like these where I'd be like, well, does he wish, you know, if one more goal would have happened here, how much could that really play a difference later in the season? But it's fine. Three goals against Man United. Virgil tickling Bruno while he was on the ground was just exactly what I wanted. Seeing the fans react like, this is who we are now. We just let our rivals stomp and tickle us. Like, kind of. That's what it's looking like. And then to have Ten Hag get interviewed after the game. If you didn't see this report, the journalist who was kind of pressuring him with good questions, Ten Hag was just like, we have the second most trophies in England last year. It's like, bro, like, what are you saying right now? Your team just got dismantled in every shape. Your team looked awful, and you're basically kind of laughing and joking and saying like, nah, don't even fret. Whew.
Yeah, I mean, this is the same guy that, I think, was it just last week? He said, oh, like, the team's not ready. You know, like, it's...
He said that at the start of the season, but yes, they're still not ready.
But like, I get what he's trying to do of, like, you know, we had success last season, whatever, but I don't think that's the way to go about this. Like, you know, maybe hasn't fully bought into the United Liverpool rivalry, which, you know, fine, but fans do. And, you know, to not only get beat heavily a few times now by Liverpool, to have your manager come out and just almost wave it off as like a nothing game is just sends out weird vibes and
yikes.
Yeah.
Yikes. I'm so happy City let them win that cup last year, because we wouldn't be saying the things we're saying now. But again, hey, the Liverpool training, I saw some of their training videos of the passing that they were doing and how they replicated it in this game here. I don't remember the exact training it was called. But if you have the chance to watch it, it's fascinating to see how these passes they're making in a tight area and then how they did the exact same thing against Man United was just brilliant. Mm-hmm. And I do believe the harder if you train game speed, you'll be even better in a game. And it just shows. Yeah. It just shows so much how just smarter they were in this game. You know, Slot is truly a kill 'em with passes type of coach, and it showed.
Yeah. I mean, even like tactically, I think Liverpool is just set up so much better than United. Like, yeah, Casemiro was a big issue, and you can't exactly plan for that on the United side. Like, you wouldn't expect them to have like such a bad day. But you know, even just watching it back, like, United's pushing their wing backs up so high, but then okay, yeah, Casemiro or whoever turns over in the back line, but now like Liverpool kept basically four up there, so then it's like instantly 4-on-2, and I never really saw United adjust to that. Like, they wanted to keep pushing both up, not even leave one back. Is like playing a dangerous game, and you know, this Liverpool team is certainly not the one to leave two back against if you're already down early. It's just, I don't know, Ten Hag things, you know, he apparently some mastermind of tactics, but he always surprises me with his like lack of tactical awareness.
I mean, he just seems unaware of what, I guess, what fans need from him. I mean, he brought in all these former players of his, and the best one on the pitch was on our team, Gravenberch. It's hilarious to think about it, but he was easily the best one there. And I don't know, Slot just has it dialed in right now. Every position, there's someone who can come in, and I feel great about who we're bringing in to replace them. He basically called Jota a number 9, so we won't see him on the wing as much, but we don't need him on the wing as much. So I'm super pumped on what we're trying to accomplish and just how this game went.
I like that he seems to be playing Szoboszlai up higher, because Klopp tended to seem to keep him back a little bit more, which he could operate in, but I think he's got good dribbling, he's got good passing. You know, I think having him higher up in this game almost felt a little bit of like the Odegaard-Saka connection with like Szoboszlai and Salah, where it's like tight spaces, but they're good at that quick little one-touch pass and move. So I think, yeah, you know, keep building on that, and then, you know, yeah, Chiesa will come in and
can't wait.
Provide good cover across the line, basically, and, you know, give Salah a rest every now and then when you're already up 3-0. Like, I think it'll all work out pretty well. I think for as, you know, quiet of a summer that Liverpool had in the transfer window, I think you probably came out as like one of the better winners of the transfer window.
pretty wild how we almost did nothing yet. I mean, this team is just so similar to the last couple of years. I get it. You didn't need to do too much. But it just looks good, man. It looks so good on paper. We haven't let a goal in this season. That first goal that gets let in, it's going to feel disappointing, but also do. You just look forward. It's like, who's going to get it? Who's going to score that goal against us?
It's going to be some crazy, like, deflected own goal
or something. Yeah, it's going to be silly. It'll be something silly like that, but I don't know. I just like the way we're moving. Szoboszlai looks like his national team self, where the ball is mostly with him, and he's distributing it nice. The Gravenberch-McAllister combo kind of reminds me of, like, the Partey-Rice, where Rice gets to push up a little bit more while Partey has his back. Of course, two different players in terms of style and physicality, but the idea is pretty much the same. And then Trent just looks you look at sulky Trent. Was that a week ago? That was 1 week ago.
Yeah.
And after this game, it's like, okay, so Slot's doing something. He's out there telling the Man U fans, holding up a number 3. Like, that's great. It's great to see 3 clean sheets. I couldn't ask for a better start from this team. In terms of expectations, they've raised this bar for me right now, because I was unsure how it would go. And now we're seeing Slot celebrate these goals how I think he should celebrate. And I think he'll get more enthusiastic as time goes on. But, yeah, no handshakes after these goals. It was all fist pumps and and just awesomeness. So
yeah,
I still stand by my solid goal streak. I think it'll continue. I don't know who slows him down yet. He'll find one. He'll always find one. Love it. I can't ask for anything better.
I mean, look, and you know, Sala even said, you know, he's in his last year of contract. No one's talked to him yet. Yep. I think they will. I think so too. You know, it's not really a end of the era yet. But in doing that, I think he's also like, you know, wants to prove that he still got it and prove that he still belongs in Liverpool and with this team. And, you know, if I'm Slot and I'm already three games in, seeing all the contributions that Salah's provided, it's like, we got to start talking to him about renewing this contract another couple of years, because this guy's still got it.
And him being most likely the oldest on the squad at 32, and everyone else being in the mid-20s, like, you can have one old guy out there. Yeah. He can be, you know, obviously not Messi, but he's doing Messi-like things in terms of putting the ball in the right place and being in the perfect positions.
Yeah.
Genius.
And genius. If people start to, you know, disregard him because he's older and ignore him on that wing, let him, because he's wide open, gets that ball and just sinks it or finds the assist. Like,
his weak foot assist, man, have just been.
Yeah.
So that's my Liverpool for the weekend.
Hell yeah.
Easy cleanup. Didn't expect anything less.
No, yeah. Yeah. It's typical Liverpool win over United, you know?
Typical. We've outscored him now 20. Oh, I think it's 29-7 now in the last 5 or so years. And this game just felt the just one of the best ones, because we kept a clean sheet, and two is just controlled. Mm. It was just so controlled. So
yeah,
happy about it.
There very few moments of like United attack.
One or two. Xerxes got in a couple times, but it wasn't enough to feel like, oh my God, what's going to happen to our team now?
Yeah, and like, honestly, I don't know what United would have done differently if they had Hoyland back or
nothing.
You know, that's, I think Liverpool was just set up so much better and just dominated really from start to finish. And yeah, love to see it.
Hats off. All right, Chad, team, player, goal.
Team, I have Liverpool down, but I think you got to go Bournemouth on this one. Such a late comeback. I get it's Everton, but like, to put three up in the last, I don't know, 15 minutes.
Yep.
Or something was just nuts.
Liverpool will find another game to get this, but
yeah.
Yeah, I think Bournemouth definitely deserves it.
Oh, not even 15 minutes.
Put like 10.
What? 8 minutes?
Wild. Player? I got to go Diaz.
Player.
I got to go Diaz. He's finishing.
I was between him or Salah, honestly.
Okay,
you know.
Salah is there too, but I think in terms of, you know, you can't compare years to years here, but this Diaz looks so different from last year. Mm. Confident on the ball, just hitting it perfectly. I feel like he's had very few misses in terms of how close he is to scoring. He just looks
much better.
Looks so on it.
Yeah. My other one besides those two was Sinisterra. One goal, one assist. Each of those being, you know, the tying goal and winning goal. So, but I think, Diaz is just... Diaz or Salah for me, I think we're just a step above. But I'd be happy to see Diaz get it, you know.
Nothing wrong with it. The goal? What you thinking? Havertz is top. For me,
I like Havertz. Is, you know, very, very nice and controlled for him. Eze, of course.
Haaland power shot.
Haaland, yeah. You know, Diaz and Salah when they're like copycat goals, basically. Sugawara from Southampton. Did you see that one?
Yeah,
that was nice. Bellegarde on Wolves, nice little hit. Dalop, yeah. So
the Dalop, I like the Dalop one a lot.
Yeah, I like his dribble through and then just wax it.
True winner, though? I feel like, man, the Havertz chip, dude, that's sticking with me. We haven't given it to Havertz yet.
Yeah, I like that one. I mean, it was one of those where we've seen him get it wrong many times before. So for him to hit it perfectly this time and get it right, I think it's worthy of the award.
I think he can earn it. We'll give it to Salah another day.
There you go. He's got many more to come. When he breaks the record.
That'll have to, I mean, no doubt about it. Yeah. It could be anything.
That one's going to be like the weakest goal.
I know.
Too.
It'll be some tap in or like
it's
huge
like falling
deflection.
Into it,
yeah.
Like...
Inevitable.
Yeah, we take it though.
All right, Chad. I think we nailed it here. A little mid-afternoon podcast. Love to do it.
Yeah.
Back to the grind. But what do we got? Not until the 15th. North London Derby. Here we go.
Yep.
Predictions.
Back. I'm still feeling good. No Rice. No Marino. The midfield's going to be a who knows what. But I think Arsenal can get it done.
Give me your score line.
'm just gonna go 1-0 on this one.
Ooh, spicy!
I think it will be spicy. I think it's gonna be a little bit late, but yeah, still feeling good. Like I was a little bit hopeful that the Marino thing was like a little overblown, and they just knew they had the international window coming up, so it could get them back in time. But now it's looking like it's maybe 6 weeks, 2 months. So that's a bummer, but. Everyone shows up for the North London Derby on both sides, so it'll be a game for the ages.
That's right. It'll be a doozy. Well, you heard it here first. Arsenal 1, Tottenham 0.
Yeah.
Chad, it's been a pleasure.
Always.
That, the Hooligans pitch. We're out. Woo!